it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Welcome back to the Hockey News American Pipeline Podcast. I am Mike Stevens, and sitting virtually across from me is the lovely Sydney Wohl. Sydney, how you doing?
Doing good. We're starting to get some weird weather here in the Midwest and in Minnesota, North Dakota. So I'm definitely reminded that it's November now. It's fully, you know, turning into winter, but it's all good. I think I'm ready for it.
Very cool. Well, as long as you're staying warm, staying safe, that's all that really matters. Speaking of things that are heating up here, it's the American Pipeline. It's the NCAA and the USHL. The NCAA and USHL sort of like streams, as we like to call them. Why don't we get through? Let's just rip through the performers of the week, tee everyone up for what transpired in the last little bit.
Yeah, so there's a lot of big games, a lot of big performances. We're going to touch on a little bit of everything. We'll sort of see how much we get through. But the first one that I wanted to talk about is a name I've been hearing a lot in some draft talk for the future. So this is going to be a good name for people that like to, you know, speculate about the draft and all that. And I couldn't find a line chart pronunciation of this player's name, so I'm so sorry if I'm saying it wrong. But it's the Green Bay Gamblers of the USHL, their defenseman, Artyom Levshunov. I've heard people say it both ways. So sorry, Levshunov, however you pronounce your last name. But he's been doing really, really well. He joined the USHL, had 2 goals and 3 assists, and was +3 this weekend. And he's only 17-year-old from Belarus, so he's an international player. And he's probably going to be a pretty big name to watch for the 2024 draft, because currently he leads all defensemen in the USHL in goals with 6, I believe, right now. And he's second in total points scored for a defender in the USHL. And he's also got really good size, 6'2", about 200 pounds. And I just think that's going to be a really big name to watch for the draft coming up. And he had a really big weekend, so I would definitely expect some big things from him coming up. Again, I'm not quite sure how to say his name because he's still an up-and-coming prospect here. And he's not committed, I believe, to any, you know, NCAA programs or anything like that yet, but had a really good weekend and a player to watch. And I believe he was just named the USHL Defenseman of the Week. So that's cool.
There you go. All right. Then there's Michael Emerson, Chicago Steel.
Yeah. So we talk about the Steel players all the time because they have a really, really good team this year. But so Michael Emerson is a name I don't think we've actually talked about on the show yet. So he has 3 goals and 2 assists over 2 games. This past week, he's a UMass commit, and he just had a really good, solid weekend. So notable player there, another strong player for the Steel coming up through the American Pipeline, as we like to say on this podcast.
Love it.
So he was, I believe, the forward of the week for the USHL honors after, you know, a five-point weekend.
Incredible. All right, another one, Matei Marinov, I believe is how you pronounce it. I mean, I don't know. Look, Levshunov.
Yeah, there's a couple Matei. International players for this week, but
we're trying our best is what we're trying to put out here.
Yeah. So I'm usually kind of a stickler about pronunciations. So if I can't find a line chart, you know, phonetic pronunciation, we're just going to go with the flow. But yeah, so Matei Marinov, like you said, that's how you say it. He plays for the Fargo Force of the USHL, and he was the goaltender of the week this week. He's 4-0 on the season. He had a 21 save shutout last weekend, so that's pretty good. And I'm pretty sure he's at around a .945 save percentage, which is really good. Sometimes it can be tough in the USHL because you're playing against such good players. So to have stats like that, that's really good. It's still early on in the season to kind of tell. Some teams like to rotate their goalies in that league, but he had a really good weekend. Was a noted performer of the week. So another goalie to keep your eye on. There's some interesting ones in the USHL this year.
Very, very cool. All right. Corey Iserman.
And yeah. So
Iserman, I was thinking like, because I've talked to people before and they say his name, like just it, you know, audibly in passing.
Yes.
So I'm like, oh, Steve Iserman's kid. No, that is incorrect.
Yes. So sounds similar. But we have some, you know, world tournaments going on, international tournaments going on right now, and we're not here to like cover those game by game or anything, but just some notables: Cole Iserman, who's a Minnesota commit, and then James Hagans, who we've talked about before, who's the one who's super young, not eligible until 2025. They have been just tearing it up and are on pretty much a record-breaking pace at this point at the World U17s, and you know, they're just, they're killing it. Iserman has 13 points in 5 games. Absolutely ridiculous. He has 9 goals and 4 assists. And then James Hagans, who I think just turned 17, I'm pretty sure I just read. I think it was this fall, or just turned 16, something like that. I'll double check. He just turned 16.
Very young.
That's what he was, 15. He just turned 16 in November, like literally a week ago. So he just turned 16 and now he's tearing it up. He has 14 points in 5 games, 5 goals, 9 assists. And he has like all this time until his draft year. So just keep an eye on those two, because wow, they're tearing it up right now. And they might be some of the best players that we've seen at that tournament if they can keep it up. Because I know they've been playing quite a few games. I don't know when they play next, though. Probably soon.
Very cool. Yeah. Not Steve Eiserman's kid. That is the main takeaway. And I have been wrong basically for the entire season. So it's good. I'm glad you could clear that up. All right, as you were saying, the Five Nations U18 tourney, why don't we go through that?
Yeah, so there's, again, like I said, a couple different, you know, international tournaments going on. So at the U18 Five Nations, they haven't played as many games. I think they've only played 2 at the time that we're recording this. I'm pretty sure Morin Minetian.
Again, another
topic. Again, I think it's Minetian.
Minetian, maybe?
Yeah, something like that.
We're going to go with Minetian, and then we'll apologize.
We talk about way too many players on the show for us to get every name right.
But exactly.
They both have 5 points apiece in 2 games, so they're tearing it up. And then Smith, Leonard, and Perreault, who we've talked about all those guys on the show, they're at 4 points in 2 games, so just keep an eye on them. Still pretty early on. They've only played 2 games in the tournament, so hard to tell. But USA doing pretty well so far. And that's it, I think, for our like USHL type NTDP players. So now we're going to like switch over to college and some of their top performers.
Let's do it. All right. So Sacred Heart D, Connor Hutchison, 4 assists in only 1 game played against Mercyhurst.
Yeah. So this player, I thought, you know, I always like looking around and seeing what players we can mention for some of our top performers. So Sacred Heart defenseman Connor Hutchison, he had 4 assists in a game last weekend against Mercyhurst. And I just thought it was, you know, a notable performance because he's already surpassed his entire amount of points scored last season in just 9 games played this year. So really nice to see. You know, it sounds like he's taken a pretty big step up here, and having 4 assists in any game in college hockey is a hard thing to do. So really nice performance there from the Sacred Heart defender.
Very cool. All right. Then we got Michigan State's Dylan St. Cyr.
Yeah. So Michigan State, that's their goaltender. He had 2 wins and 1 shutout this weekend. They played Wisconsin, I'm pretty sure. Yeah. Wisconsin. He made 88 of 89 saves. So that's
insane.
Pretty
that's
good.
Ridiculous.
That's a lot of shots allowed, and he saved pretty much all of them, which I think is about a 0.988 or 0.989, something like that, save percentage. So he was, you know, a star of the week, I believe, in the Big Ten. But he's one of those curious cases who he played for Notre Dame and then transferred and Quinnipiac, and now he's at Michigan State. So he's at his 3rd school. And I think he's kind of an underrated goalie because he's one of those 5'8" goaltenders. So I feel like he doesn't get that much hype, but he's really good.
Incredible. Yeah. Look, 5'8". I get like, look, we've been talking about how we're going to stunt for the short Kings here. And I'm glad that we're doing that. And look, if you have a 988 save percentage, 989, I mean, you're good in my book. All right. Michigan State's Eric Middendorf.
Yeah, so just a good weekend for Michigan State. Their goalie played well, and then Eric Middendorf played well too. He had 4 goals in 1 of the games against Wisconsin, and 1 of them was, or 2 of them, I should say, were 15 seconds apart. So that's kind of crazy. You know, you don't see that very often in any level to just score, you know, back-to-back seconds apart. And I read a stat on, I think it was the Big Ten's website, that said he's the first Michigan State player to score 4 goals in a game since like 1998 or something. So pretty that's huge crazy. For their program.
That's absolutely insane. I was 2 years old in 1998. So pretty wild. All right. Another one, Western Michigan. Like, it's not the same school, but obviously the state of Michigan. What a weekend they've had. For Jason Poland, he had 8 points, 6 goals, 2 assists in these two games over the weekend. What a performance.
Yeah, so Western Michigan, you know, some people thought would be a little bit down this year. I thought so too, just because they lost a lot of their talent this offseason. But Jason Poland had a hat trick in both games this weekend. So that's huge. Again, that's hard to do. 8 points in two games. And then his teammate, who we talked about last week, Ryan McAllister, the freshman, had 6 assists this weekend. So Western Michigan had a big weekend. And Ryan McAllister, I mean, that's a really good freshman. I mean, that's 6 assists this weekend. And last weekend we talked about he had a huge performance as well. So keep your eye on him.
It's always fun now that we're like pretty into the season that we start getting repeat people here. Like, you know, week after week, we start talking with the same person. Then you start realizing, oh, this is a very good player. Mankato's David Cilie.
Yeah, I've heard some people say Cilia, so I'm just going to say, okay. I'm just going to say Cilia, but I've heard a couple people say it a little different, but Mankato or Minnesota State, however you want to say it. I'm from Minnesota, so we just say Mankato here, but he had 5 goals this weekend, 2 in 1 game, and then 3 in the other against St. Thomas, so huge weekend for him, and Mankato still's got some good players coming through their program, even though they lost, you know, Dryden McKay and a couple others last year in the offseason, but they still got some good players.
Incredible. All right. Then we got Providence College's Riley Durin. He had a hat trick against UMass.
Yeah. So that one, again, just hat trick at any level is a feat. And PC had a nice game there. And Riley Durin, hat trick against UMass, you know, self-explanatory.
I mean, that's what else can you say, really?
Yeah.
And then our player to watch last week was Jimmy Snuggerud. And he had a pretty big, he followed up with a pretty good weekend, 2 goals and 1 assist.
Yeah, so last week, you know, I said watch Jimmy Snuggerud. He was doing really well for Minnesota, and he had another really strong weekend. 2 goals, 1 assist. So that's a good trend. We'll see if we can keep it up here with our players to watch.
Incredible. All right, yeah, our players to watch now. We got Colorado College's Noah Laba.
Yeah, so Noah Laba, I think, is just a really fun player to watch. He's been another really impactful freshman. We've talked a little bit about a couple of those other ones, and playing in the NCHC as a freshman is never easy, but he's making it look pretty easy right now. He's a 4th round pick of the Islanders this past year, actually. And so far he's 10 points and 10 games played as a freshman. So that's really hard to do in college hockey, going a point per game. He's 19 years old, played for Lincoln in the USHL before college and had good numbers, but it was nothing like crazy flashy or anything. So it's really nice to see him just jump right into college, and he's really just taken off and I think has had a really nice start to the season. So keep your eye on Noah Laba, and hopefully we'll have a pattern here, and hopefully he'll have a really good weekend and we can just keep it going like that.
Very cool. All right. Then our team to watch, and you have this in our prep underlined and have, I would say, 4 exclamation marks next to it. So you're very passionate about this.
Yeah. So Merrimack is a team I almost picked last week for the team to watch because they've just been slowly but surely sneaking up and creeping up on all of these top teams. And they swept Boston College this last week, which was huge for them. And the last time that happened, I read, was in 1997 that they swept Boston College. That's how long it's been since that has happened, which has been forever. And Merrimack has had some really, really nice wins on the year so far. So I'd say keep your eyes on them. They're slowly but surely sneaking up the polls. I think they were 19 this week, if I remember correctly. And I think in the pairwise, they're at 20. So if this was the end of the season, they'd be on sort of that bubble to make the tournament. But they've really had some nice big wins that have really been establishing them as a team to watch this year. They also split with UMass earlier this year. Both games went to overtime, so that means they had a shot in both of them. They swept BC. They beat Clarkson earlier in the year. They beat New Hampshire earlier in the year. They beat Colgate. I think they split with Colgate. So they have some really nice wins. Just if they're able to get a little bit more consistent and get a couple other nice wins, I think they're just going to keep moving up here. So watch out for Merrimack. I'm huge on Merrimack right now. And their next 4 games are all winnable. They have a series against Maine, 2 games against Maine, which I think they'll be able to win. Then they play, I think, just 1 game against Sacred Heart and 1 against Holy Cross. So I think those games are all winnable for them. And if they're able to win all 4 of those games, they're just going to keep moving up. So keep your eye on Merrimack. I'm pretty high on them, and I think they're just going to keep on moving up the polls here.
I mean, I think that's worthy of the four exclamation marks, marks. Honestly, I think you didn't overhype them there. That's pretty legit.
Yeah. I just like to seeing teams that, you know, aren't the traditional like top five or top 10 power teams doing really well. It's fun to see, you know, teams that maybe have had a couple down years move up. So I love seeing those underdog teams do that. So keep your eye on Merrimack. They've been fun to watch so far.
Absolutely. All right. Let's rattle through our top five games of the week for the weekend ahead.
Yeah, so top five games of the week. There's actually one I'm going to save for the end because we have a weather situation here in the Midwest that might affect some things.
By the way, it is in terms of Celsius, at least, it's 18 yes. degrees here in Toronto.
Yeah, so you guys
it's a bit
are,
different.
Yeah, getting some different things here than we yeah. are in the Midwest. But first game of the week, this one is going to be really fun. So number 8 Penn State is taking on number 1 Minnesota. But Penn State had their first loss actually this past weekend. They played Michigan and they split, which was huge. But before that, Penn State was undefeated on the year. So this is going to be a really big matchup. If Minnesota is able to sweep, they're probably going to stay at number 1 after this weekend. But if Penn State's able to get any wins, I think they might actually, hot take, be sort of valid for that number 1 spot because they have a really, really good record. And they proved that they're able to play with good teams after playing Michigan. So that's one that I think is really interesting. I'm definitely going to be interested in watching that game this weekend. We also have another big, huge matchup, top 10 matchup here. Number 7, UConn, taking on number 9, Providence. UConn, a lot of fans are really high on them right now. A lot of people are as well. And Providence, I think, is a team that's also really good. So that's going to be a close one. Mm-hmm. Number 7 and number 9. So whoever, if someone's able to sweep, they're probably going to flip spots or even go further up, further down. We'll see if they split. They might stay where they are. UMass, number 11, taking on number 14, BU, Boston University. Again, that's always a big, big game, and they're close in the polls. So we'll see if anything changes or if any team's able to come away with the sweep. This was kind of my wild card pick for the week. Bemidji State is playing Northern Michigan. Neither of these teams, I believe, are ranked right now, but they're really close in the pairwise. I think Bemidji mm-hmm. State's 24 and Northern Michigan's 29. So if either of these teams are able to come out with 2 wins, that's going to be huge for them because both of these teams are going to be wanting these wins to try and get into the tournament at the end of the year. So that's a big game for those two. And then this last one. So like I said, we have some weather situations going on in the Midwest. So where I am in Minnesota, we're not getting any snow. It's just raining, and it was thunderstorming last night, which was really weird for November. But in North Dakota, they are currently in a winter storm warning and might get a foot of snow.
Holy smokes.
They are in a huge winter storm. And Denver is supposed to be flying to North Dakota the day that we're recording this Thursday. They're supposed to be flying into, I believe, Fargo and then busing up to Grand Forks, which is about usually, I think it's like an hour and a half, 2-hour drive. And if people that are listening to this, I assume are mostly from Canada, but North Dakota is super flat. That drive to Fargo to Grand Forks, very flat. So if there's a snowstorm, it's like impossible to get anywhere. So I heard that flights getting into Fargo are being canceled right now. So we'll see if that game actually happens because Denver, I don't know if they're going to be able to get to Grand Forks. It might be really hard if they're supposed to get a foot of snow throughout the next 24 hours here. So that was my other 5th game of the week. Number 2, Denver taking on number 12, North Dakota. That's a big NCHC matchup. But as of right now, it's on. We'll see. Again, huge snowstorm. I don't know how they're going to get there, but they're going to try. So we'll see.
Yeah, the thing is you have to actually like get to the place to play the game. So it's not so much that like the roof is going to cave in. It's that no one can get there. And that's pretty important. So yeah, incredible. Yeah. All right. A couple notable things before we get into our sort of our team analysis, our team rundown of prospects. Why don't we get through some of the decommits that we had?
Yeah, so I'm just going to run through these really quick. But this week there was a lot of players that decommitted for whatever reason, whether, you know, there's a ton of different reasons why players might decommit from the college programs they committed to. But these are just a couple that I heard of for players that are in junior. So I heard David Heimovich of Muskegon no longer is listed as a Quinnipiac commit. Tyler Dunbar was supposed to be a North Dakota player. He plays for Muskegon right now. He's not listed as that anymore. Michael Emerson, who we just talked about at the beginning of the show, it looks like he's no longer UMass, so can be recruited by anybody. and on Sorbonne of the Omaha Lancers, no longer listed as Michigan. Michael Burchill, no longer also UMass, a couple of UMass decommits here this fall. And it sounds like I heard through the grapevine on Twitter that it sounds like Michigan, North Dakota, and Minnesota were kind of like in the mix for him. We'll see if that plays out. And then I know we don't usually talk about the NAHL here on this podcast, but that's part of the American pipeline. And the NAHL, the NAHL leading scorer, David Ondrejczyk, I think is how you say his last name. He's their leading scorer in the whole NAHL, and he's no longer listed as a St. Lawrence commit. So that's probably going to be a really big pickup. And I'm sure colleges are excited to look there, because being a leading scorer in the NAHL is pretty good. That's hard to do. So he plays for the Northeast Generals. I think he's from the Los Angeles area. He's the captain, and he has 27 points in 20 games, so that's pretty big. And then the last one I heard of was CJ Foley of Salmon Arm in the BCHL. I heard was no longer listed as Holy Cross. So that's just some of the decommits I heard of. That means they're probably open to whoever now and will be committing to a new program hopefully soon.
Very cool. Considering that there is like a Hall of Famer, an extremely important player called Dave Ondrejczyk, or same spelling and everything. I was wondering if they are related. It doesn't appear to be, which is a massive coincidence.
Are they linked? They might be. I haven't really looked into it. From
like a nephew or like a cousin perspective. He's not his kid.
I was going to say, I don't really know anything about him. That's a NAHL team that isn't very close to me, you know, state-wise, proximity-wise. So I haven't really watched them. I just heard this on Twitter. He's their leading scorer, which is crazy. He's no longer listed as a St. Lawrence commit. So that's huge. Could definitely be related. I would believe it. They're not linked on their online stats page, but that doesn't mean anything.
All right. Those are all the notables we got, or you want to rattle through some more?
Yeah. The only other things I wanted to touch on was that the NLI signing day was this week, the National Letter of Intent signing day. So most players that are going to be going to college, they signed their NLI, which means they can't be recruited to other schools, essentially. So there were tons and tons of Minnesotan players, where I'm from, and players from the USHL signing their NLIs, meaning I'm going to this school, because then you can't really break that contract unless there's like very specific ways. I don't know. You don't do that necessarily. Yeah. So that was this week. And then one big commitment I wanted to touch on, Shattuck St. Mary's forward Aiden Park committed to Michigan this week. And he's a really big name because he has been a really good player in the past couple of seasons for Shattuck St. Mary's. He's posted a crazy amount of points. He had 118 in 54 games last year. And the year before that, for his 14U season, he had 133 points in 50 games. So huge name to watch. I'm sure that's going to be a name coming up for the draft in a couple of years, but he's really good and he committed to Michigan. So that's another high level Michigan recruit. And then just lastly, I saw this on Schlossman's Twitter earlier today from the Grand Forks Herald. And he said that, interestingly, this is interesting, Dubuque in the USHL added the rights to University of Wisconsin's Charlie Stramill and Caden Brown to its protected list, which is weird because they're already in college. So obviously that doesn't mean they're leaving their collegiate program, but usually if that happens, it means like they might go back to the USHL second semester, or after that year, go back, play juniors until they're not eligible, and then commit somewhere else and play college. So it's kind of like a weird back and forth, like juniors to college, back to juniors, back to college, which is strange, but it seems weird that Dubuque would add these players to their protected list if they didn't have some inside info that was telling them that maybe these players were looking for other opportunities. Again, we talked about Wisconsin struggling the past few years, so maybe they're just seeing that and they want to explore their opportunities. I don't know. It doesn't mean anything yet, but it's notable. So just wanted to mention that. So yeah, that was a big thing. I think that's all of our notables. So we might as well head on to our NHL team profile, which interestingly enough, I don't have a jersey. I don't know if anybody's going to be watching this part of the show, but typically I hang up a jersey behind me. I don't have an Islanders jersey, but I have an Islanders shirt.
It's good enough.
So I hung my Islanders shirt. I try to have a large variety of teams and jerseys and all that stuff.
That is more than workable here. Doing great. And you the cat's out of the bag here, because we are doing the New York Islanders, going through their prospects in, as we call, the American pipeline. Let's start with Jacob Pivanka.
Yeah, so Jacob Pivanka plays for Nebraska Omaha, and he's a fifth year, so that means this is likely his last year of eligibility. I think he's played all 5 years. He currently has 6 points in 10 games, so not too shabby there. And you might know his last name or be familiar with it, because his dad is Michael Pivanka. He was a former player for Czechoslovakia back in the day, and he played for the Washington Capitals back in the 80s and 90s. So if you were a Caps fan, you might have heard of his dad. He hasn't had like a ton of offensive production. He actually played 4 years at Notre Dame and then transferred to Nebraska Omaha this season. And his best year was 11 points in 35 games. So he hasn't had like a ton of offensive upside necessarily in points production. This season, he already has 6 points. So maybe he just needed that change of scenery. He was a fourth round pick back in 2018. So quite some time ago. But right now for Nebraska Omaha, he's actually on the first line with Jack Randall and Tyler Weiss. So that might be a nice fit for him to just get some first line minutes with Nebraska Omaha and hopefully have his best year of college hockey so far. He was a former national team development program player, so that means obviously he has some talent. And he wore the C. He was a captain at Notre Dame last year. So that means he also must be a good locker room guy and a good person to be a captain of that program.
No kidding. The captain of Notre Dame, that's not a role that you take lightly. All right. Cameron Berg from Nebraska Omaha.
Yeah, so this is another Nebraska Omaha player. There's just two on this list. So this is Jake Pivanka's teammate right now. Cam Berg, he's a sophomore forward. He currently has 5 points in 10 games. So again, not too shabby. He's 6 foot. So, you know, pretty good height there. Left wing. Currently, doing pretty good for Nebraska Omaha. He had really good numbers in the USHL, though, a couple years ago. I think he started playing with Omaha and then moved to Muskegon and had really good seasons there for Muskegon. So obviously he has a lot of potential and a lot of scoring power. He had 23 points in 37 games last year as a freshman, which is pretty good because, like I said, jumping into the NCHC as a freshman, not easy to do. So those are pretty good numbers, actually. And he was a fourth round pick back in 2021. So another pretty solid pick, nothing too flashy, but definitely a solid player to have in your pipeline.
Absolutely. All right. Then we got Alex Jeffries from Merrimack. That's your favorite place, apparently.
Well, yes. I mean, I am, a true only St. Cloud State fan when it comes down to the end of it, but I am super hype on Merrimack right now. And Alex Jeffries is a Islanders prospect. He currently has 11 points in 9 games. Really, really good. Over a point per game. It's hard to do in college hockey early on. He's a junior forward. Like I said, part of Merrimack, which right now is a team to watch. They're up and coming. And he's kind of one of those cases where he went straight from high school to college hockey, which is very, very difficult to do. He was a fourth round pick back in 2020, and he's had pretty good points production so far, but I think he's got another, level he can reach. I think he can kick it up another notch, kick it up a bit with points production. But again, just a very solid prospect to have for the New York Islanders. So far, it's just been all players that have been like pretty solid, pretty generally good players.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, look, that's sort of the hallmark of the Islanders organization. Just like, no one really stands out like crazy, just very solid, yes, very good players. And they seem to be sticking with that till the end here. All right. Christian Krieger.
Yeah. So this player has a lot of family ties as well to other hockey players. He currently plays with his twin brother at Michigan State. They're both like big defensemen. And then his dad, Todd, was a pro player for a couple different NHL teams. So he's definitely got hockey in his blood. If you go to his like stats pages, there's like all these other players that are related to him that you can look at all their stats and stuff. But so he plays at Michigan State. He's a fifth year, so this is his last year. Mm-hmm. Big defender, 6'2". He's not big on the points production side of things, only 1 point in 6 games so far. And he was one of those sort of gamble picks. He was a seventh round pick back in 2018. I think his twin brother Cole also was a seventh round pick. He's a Florida draft pick though, but they were both sort of like these late round picks, and like I said, not a big point producer, His best season for points was 8 and 36. So he's more of just that like big enforcer type guy. He did have 79 penalty minutes last year in 36 games. So, you know, like I said, bigger enforcer guy. But he's got hockey in his blood. So he's got a lot of family ties to hockey players. But this is his last season to make a statement for college hockey. And then after that, he's going to have to, you know, go into likely a pro hockey situation and see how that goes. So this is his last year of eligibility. So you could probably expect for him to try and have his best year yet at Michigan State this year.
He's going to have to get a real job after this year. Oh, boy. It's going to be crazy. All right. And then we have two USHL ones here. Two USHL prospects. We got first one is Quinn Finley from Madison.
Yeah, so Quinn Finley is a really fun prospect. I've heard a lot of buzz about him lately in the past couple of months here. So Madison was actually in the Clark Cup Finals last year for the USHL, and they didn't win it, but they were the second place team, which is still really good, really hard to do. Quinn Finley was a really good player for Madison last year, and currently for the Capitals, he has 15 points in 11 games. He's really kicked it up a notch this season so far. 5'11", he's a left wing. He was a third round pick this past summer. And this is his third USHL season. So every year he's been one of those players that's just gotten better and better and better, which is really good to see. I think that's nice to see a player who, like, you start off, you know, it's really hard to get to the USHL. You maybe don't have the season you want. The next year you get a little bit better. The next year you get a little bit better. I just love watching players who are able to do that and just kind of just keep advancing their game. So Quinn Finley plays for Madison. He's a Wisconsin commit, so I assume that means next year he'll probably be playing for the Badgers. And he's just a big part of the Madison team right now. He's one of their top players, and he's had a really, really good start to the season, over a point per game so far. So hopefully he's able to light it up this season and then head on to Wisconsin next year and the Badgers and hopefully be a key player for them.
Very cool. And then finally, the last player in this, as we call it, the American pipeline, we got Tomas Matthew.
Yeah. And again, this is another international player. We've got a couple of those on the show today. But he currently plays for Youngstown in the USHL. He has 3 points in 9 games. So nothing crazy points wise, but he's a big defender, 6'4", and he's from Czechia. He was a 7th round pick in 2021. So again, one of those later round picks who normally it's like, we're going to pick you. We think you have some potential, but we'll sort of see how that plays out. Last year, he didn't have a ton of points. I don't think he had any goals. He had 6 assists in 34 games played. So we'll sort of see what happens there. I think he's more of a defensive defenseman. He did play for the U-20s for Czechia. So obviously that means he's got some talent. And he's a Colorado College commit. So he's planning to play college hockey. He has plenty of time to develop his game, you know, in juniors and then through Colorado College. So just because he doesn't have a ton of points and he's not the flashiest defenseman right now, I wouldn't worry about it. He still has time to be a really good prospect. He's got plenty of time, juniors, college hockey, all that stuff. So kind of overall, like you said, New York Islanders, not a ton of flashy players really on here on this list, but a lot of just pretty solid prospects overall.
Very cool. All right. Well, that brings us to the end of this week's American Pipeline. What a great time breaking down, you know, the NCAA, the USHL. We've even gotten into some, as you like to call it, the NAHL, the NAHL.
Yeah.
Pretty crazy stuff. We'll obviously be back to do this all again next week. A ton of fun. You can follow Sydney Wolf at Sydney is a Wolf on Twitter, me at MikeyStevens81, and, you know, go read the hockey news. It's a great website and publication to get your hockey news from.